ATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Washington, D.C., I'm Veronica Dudo with an EWTN News Link. A 31-year-old man from California is expected to appear in federal court in Washington, D.C. Monday to face charges in Saturday night shooting at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. This comes as law enforcement officials are digging into the life and possible motives of the suspect. King Charles and Queen Camilla's four-day visit to the U.S. starts today. It will include a rare address to a joint meeting of Congress, only the second by a British monarch. The royal couple will also meet privately.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks so much for joining us today on this beautiful April 27th. It is Monday. We continue to be in the Easter season. I'm Dave Palmer. This is the Good News program where we come on live once a week, and we just talk about the good things that are going on. And, you know, by the way, on Fridays at this time, Julian Placino is now hosting a program that's more Fort Worth-focused because, as you know, a couple years ago, we brought on 1140 a.m., KCPP, Capuchin Padre Pio, it's named after. And so Julian, being the general manager of Fort Worth, does this kind of a show on Fridays, more Fort Worth focused. And so this kind of got me now to have a little bit more of a Dallas angle on this, whereas I used to try to cover both dioceses. But it's really nice to have Julian doing his show. His show is called Faith in Action. It's Fridays at noon. And so Cecil is back in the saddle now running the board, and we have a full show. In fact, in the second half of the program today, starting at about 12:35, I am going to be joined in studio by Jenny Bales. And Jenny is one of the leaders of what's coming up in the week. The first weekend of June is the third annual DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference. And if you are a homeschool family, if you are considering homeschooling, if you just think it's something that's like, I don't know if I could do that, but I wouldn't mind spending a couple of days learning about it to see if it's an option for my family, well, then you might want to listen to this conversation and also consider going to that conference we'll be talking about. And in about 10 minutes, I am going to introduce you to my in-studio guest, my first one, Deacon Ryan Sales, who serves as campus minister over at the University of Dallas. It's a very important role. He's been doing this for about 5 years. He is from Canada, and his wife also works over at UD. His daughter is at UD, so they have very strong ties to the University of Dallas. The main thing we're going to be talking about, though, is not so much campus ministry, but an app that he has developed called the Avila app, and it's designed to help couples in committed relationships intentionally discern marriage and prepare for it earlier in the relationship. Because I know a lot of people just kind of jump right into it, and there's a lot of questions to be asked, a lot of conversations to be had. And so we're in a digital age, and this app can help those couples to make sure they are discerning well, of course, always with their Catholic faith at the forefront. Before that, though, I want to just chat briefly with Cecil about a couple of things, and then we're going to bring in the random French guy, because Matthew Demotier is the head of the Lafayette Musicians, and they have a concert coming up this Saturday that we want to just very briefly tell you about. It's going to be this Saturday, May 2nd, 6 p.m. at the Dallas Aldridge House Museum. It's called Abraham and Jephthah's Sacrifice. Matthew is from France. He's a very talented composer, and we're going to talk briefly about him and just see if something you hear from Matthew may encourage you to go online and get a couple of tickets. So real quickly, Cecil, anything about your project that you want to mention?
Oh, goodness.
You've been doing this for about 2 weeks exclusively, huh?
Yes, pretty exclusively. I don't know. What have you been telling people? Have you been telling anything
absent? Yeah, that you've been kind of in hibernation. I say hibernation, but that implies you're not doing anything. But you've been working almost exclusively on a documentary based on the trip that we did last summer to Medjugorje.
Yes.
And it was funded by a local benefactor, and she said, why don't you go over there and just kind of let everybody know what's going on in Medjugorje, right?
Yes. So the last 2 weeks has been really just me looking over all of this footage, because we had two cameras going almost the entire week that we were with our pilgrim group traveling all around Medjugorje. So it's now time to kind of organize everything, and we have now what we think kind of the plot of the documentary laid out. And so now it's just really putting it together and telling the story that we want to tell, all about how Medjugorje is today, and then looking to the future as well.
Yeah, very good. So that'll be coming out not before too long. And Sissel's been working on that very a lot. And a couple other things real quickly before we go to Matthew is that tickets are now officially on sale for the Keeping the Promise, a Midsummer Evening of Wine, Wisdom, and Wow event. And we're going to have four panelists, Doug Keck, Toya Hall, Father Sam Medley, and Cy Kellett. I'm going to be the MC. The event is July 18th. It's at a brand new venue, the Capel Arts Center in Capel. And the tickets are $100. It's a fundraiser. It's going to be really, really interesting. So please consider going to that. And one of our committee members, and I talked to her this morning, and she gave me permission to make the announcement on the air because she's a woman of prayer. Margie Giangiulio suffered a heart attack recently. And, you know, Margie is one of those really dynamic ladies. Everybody knows her. And she was very instrumental in getting adoration in a lot of churches, thanks be to God, over the years. And she's a woman of prayer. And I talked to her this morning. So she's okay, but she is about to have a procedure done. And so please keep her in prayer. And she would be very grateful about that. So let's go to Matthew Desmoutiers. And he is the head of the Lafayette Musicians, a classical musical orchestra and choir composed of professional instrumentalists and singers. And the name honors the Marquis de Lafayette, a French hero of the American Revolution. And his next concert is this Saturday, Abraham and Jephthah's Sacrifice, at the Dallas Aldridge House Museum. And he is also our famous random French guy from the all those spots that we did for the San River Cruise. Matthew, good afternoon. How you doing? Matthew, there? I don't hear him, but Sissel will see if she can get him on. And Matthew, if you but I'll tell you what, if we don't get Matthew on, I'm going to tell you what's going on. Is that this is a romantic, beautiful concert May 2nd this Saturday, 6 p.m. Dallas Aldridge House Museum. And I'll read, if you go to the Lafayette Musician, LafayetteMusicians.org website, you'll find all the details about this, how you can get tickets. And it says, join us for an unforgettable event exploring the fascinating stories of Abraham and Jephthah's sacrifices. Dive into these two sacred stories composed by Marc Antoinette Carpenter and somebody else whose name I can't pronounce. It's a perfect name. Time to connect, reflect, and share with others who are curious about these epic tales. The Lafayette Musicians, conducted by Matthew Desmoutiers, will help you travel to the 17th century? Is that 18th century? Yeah. Okay, we just got a couple of minutes, Matthew. Good to talk with you. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad to hear you now. Yes, so just two words about this concert, this Saturday concert. So for the people who know, we are just professional musicians, and we created the Lafayette Musicians 5 years ago here in Dallas area just to perform sacred music, because sacred music is for me a very powerful way to evangelize and to share our faith to people. So this concert, I will describe it in 1 minute. You come to this famous Dallas Aldridge House Museum at 6 p.m. It's a very old house built in the 18th century, and it stayed the same way as from the beginning. So everything is old furniture, wood everywhere. And you have a dinner you can serve by yourself, a French dinner with French wines and drinks. For an hour in this old house you can visit. There are two floors. It's really, really nice. And then at 7 p.m. you enter the small main room with a big fireplace. Of course, it will be off now. It's too hot. But you will sit in a small room of only 40 seats. And the six singers of my group and the organist will come to play from 7 to 8. It's not a very long concert. The two sacred pieces, the one from the French composer Marc-Antoine Charpentier about the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac. And then a second part of the concert, an Italian composer, the teacher of Charpentier, who is Carissimi. And the second sacred story is about Jephthah, the sacrifice of Jephthah. He promised to God that he would sacrifice someone after the war. If he won the war, he won the war. And the first person he saw was his daughter. So it's a real drama. He has to sacrifice his daughter. daughter.
Yeah. Okay. So that I'm glad you explained that. Abraham and Jephthah. So it's really two different pieces. It's going to be one after the other, and it's going to be this Saturday. How much are the tickets, Matthew?
So all included with the meal, it's $95, and you can go on LafayetteMusicians.org, and on the 40 seats available, there are just 20 remaining. So don't lose your time to buy the tickets. And really, in this small place with the wood everywhere, you are filled with the six voices, which are really surrounding you all around. It's a unique moment.
Yeah. All right, LafayetteMusicians.org, LafayetteMusicians.org. Again, it's this Saturday, May 2nd, Dallas Aldridge House Museum, Abraham and Jephthah Sacrifice, put on by Matthew Dumotier and the Lafayette Musicians. And $95 for all of that. That is a really good deal. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate your time, and I hope it's a wonderful experience this Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
All right. And this is the Good News Show. Let's move on to our first guest in studio, Deacon Ryan Sales. I remember meeting him. His wife was on our committee for a while, and they had come down from Canada. He was in law enforcement and has, as I mentioned a moment ago, been serving as the campus minister at the University of Dallas for the last 5 years, and he has launched a new Catholic app called Avila, which is coming out this month, designed to help couples in committed relationships intentionally discern marriage and prepare it earlier in their relationship. So Deacon Ryan Sales, thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Dave.
So before we get into the app, let's just talk about campus ministry, because you come from a law enforcement background. How did, and of course you're a deacon, but how did that come about that you moved down to Texas, started working at University of Dallas about 5 years ago?
Well, it's absolutely Holy Spirit driven. It doesn't match any sort of normal career trajectories, et cetera. But it just happened that I was in the process of retiring formally from that career after start to finish 25 years and wondering, what am I going to do with my life? I'd just wrapped up a master's degree in divinity. I wanted to work in ministry. But knowing Canada and unfortunately the current state of religion in Canada, it's very secular. And so doing a canvas of ministry jobs in Canada doesn't reveal a lot of search results. Mm-hmm. And so it just happened that a ministry that I had been running over COVID, an individual that was a part of that ministry, just randomly sent me her alma mater's job listing post and said, well, hey, if there's nothing available for you in Canada, why don't you take a look at these jobs down in America? And the first one on the list was the campus minister position. Oh, wow. At the University of Dallas. And as is the case, and I know you've probably experienced this before, the Holy Spirit speaks very powerfully through my wife, who said, well, you should just apply. And when I looked at the job posting, it said you had to be approved to work in the United States. I'm not approved to work in the United States. My wife said, just apply anyways. And so thanks be to God, I responded to that nudge, push, nudge, tap, however you want to describe it. And lo and behold, there was a chaplain here at the time, Father Joseph Paul Albin, who decided to take a chance on me, and the university took a chance on me and opened the door to an incredible, incredible 5 years that we've been down here.
So what is a day in the life of a campus minister? What do you do day in, day out?
That's one of the most beautiful things, and where I guess there is some correlation to my previous life as a law enforcement officer, in that you never know what each day is going to bring you. But some common threads are an opportunity to just journey with our students through the various aspects of their collegiate life, everything from academic stresses to relationship issues to living away from home. A desire to grow in their faith and the challenges that come with faith-seeking understanding. And so a lot of it is just really accompaniment. Certainly there's aspects of spiritual direction and providing opportunities for retreats or mission trips and all of that. But I would suggest a campus minister's principal job is just to be there for the students in a way that staff and faculty, other staff and faculty don't have the ability to do so. And so living at the University of Dallas, my family, we live right on the campus. Our daughter has been taking summer classes and is a rising freshman. My wife working there it provides us a lot of opportunities for those casual encounters that end up being the ones where the Holy Spirit works mm-hmm. most powerfully.
You mentioned working in relationships and, formation of, I guess, people who are discerning marriage. And is that was the genesis of this app idea? How did this all come about that you decided to put an app together?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorite parts of campus ministry is that I've been entrusted with a ministry of doing marriage preparation for students, faculty, and staff who are discerning marriage. And University of Dallas, love is in the air. Ring by spring is definitely a thing at the University of Dallas. We have a lot of folks who go there with the principal aim of obtaining an excellent Catholic education in the liberal arts, but for many a secondary or maybe tertiary goal of coming home with a wife or a husband or very close to one of those two things. And so getting engaged and starting the formal church process of working towards marriage preparation is not something that happens occasionally. It's something that happens very frequently. And as I've been journeying with young couples today, I started to identify this gap. You know, technology has been harnessed in helping Catholics find each other. You know, there's Sacred Spark, there's Catholic Match, there's these different applications that are out there because it is challenging to meet mm-hmm. folks sometimes, especially our students who are away from home. They don't have the same social structures that they would maybe at home. And so there's lots of opportunities to help meet folks. I have to give a plug to Candid Dating, another local Catholic app that's doing wonderful work in helping folks meet each other. And then we have marriage preparation, and the Diocese of Dallas has a wonderful marriage prep framework that we do, and we've built upon that a customized program for University of Dallas students, acknowledging the fact that they are at a unique stage of life compared to many of the folks who approach the church for marriage preparation at the parish level. And so we have this wonderful marriage prep program, and then we have marriage, you know, encounter programs once you've been married. But what I was noticing was we have folks that come into marriage prep, and one of the tools that we use is a premarital inventory, Focus, or one of those where we identify areas of their relationship that maybe they haven't worked on, maybe areas that they're looking at from different perspectives. But we're doing that after they're already engaged mm-hmm. and they've already sometimes booked church and yeah. booked a venue And I'm looking at these things and I'm going, well, these are aspects of marriage that really should have been fundamentally involved in the discernment process, not that we identify after they've already discerned and fixed their hearts on each other.
Yeah.
And so, but there's nothing out there. There's nothing that's set up to really help couples to date and discern well. And
so the timing is very important because you're saying it's not like I just met somebody, we went on a date. They're not ready for this yet. But at the same time, I bought a ring, I proposed to her. You're too far along by that point. So you've got that window of what? How does somebody know that they're ready for this?
Yeah, and one of the challenges is we lack a clear nomenclature to describe this. What's that spot? Because the challenge today is everything up to engagement we call dating. Mm-hmm. So dating is going out on a standalone date, coffee with somebody that I've never met before to explore whether we have any sort of commonality, any connection. We also use the word dating to describe we've been together for a year and a half in a committed relationship. I guess the closest correlation or the closest historical term we would have would be courtship.
Yeah.
And so Avila is particularly designed for individuals who are in courtship.
Yeah.
And then it follows through with engagement as well. But it's designed for those couples who have gone on multiple dates and who've said, you know what? No, we want to transition this from just purely exploratory to a committed relationship oriented, as we understand in the Catholic sense, oriented towards marriage. And so now we're in a process of formally discerning marriage. And that might be after a month or 2 months or whatever the case may be. That's the spot that Avila specifically is addressed towards. And if you think about this, Dave, if I was to ask you to describe, tell me how you learned how to ride a bike, you know, you're going to go, I have no idea. Well, this is the challenge. Folks have wonderful role models. Many of the folks that are out there dating today have excellent role models in their parents. But when you go to your parents and say, can you tell me how it was that you dated in order to discern marriage? That might be something that happened 20, 30 years earlier. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's difficult to articulate how did we actually go through a process of determining whether or not we think God is calling us to marriage. And this is where Avila steps in, and it gives voice to, and it helps these couples in a very slow, gradual way. It journeys along with them, giving them a weekly nudge to say, hey, here's some things that the two of you should maybe have a conversation about. And if it's a place of tension in your relationship, well, here's why it's important that you resolve that tension, and here's some practical steps to resolve that tension. In resolving that tension, now all of a sudden the couple is stronger on the other side, but also they have additional data points for this discernment process. If they can't reconcile that tension, well, this is something that maybe should be considered in their discernment process.
I love this because it's not replacing any program that already exists, because most of the programs, like you say, are after the engagement starts, before the marriage. And that's heartbreaking. If something comes up during that time and you have to cancel it, you like you say, you're already pretty far along. So I think this saves a lot of time. It saves money. It saves booking churches where you might have to cancel, postpone or cancel it. How did you decide on the name Avila? Obviously, St. Teresa of Avila, but she was a celibate nun and never got married, I don't believe. Well, why her?
Yeah. So, the interior castle, this is a pro, her teachings are that there's a series of mansions that lead us deeper into union with God. And as I was reflecting on that, well, what is this process of discernment? It's not just about coming to a particular decision. The secondary aspect of dating and engagement is to build a foundation for a life together. And what is that life together supposed to be centered on? Well, it's supposed to be centered on God. And so these seven, the seven mansions that you go through in your pursuit of unity with God, well, this is sort of the process that couples go through when they're dating, is they're doing a twofold process of preparing to become one flesh, a unity with each other, but also as they deepen their relationship, ideally, they're deepening their relationship and centering that one flesh on Christ himself. It's all about unity and a gradual process of obtaining that unity. Couple doesn't start out, on opposite sides of the fence, and then magically when they get married, they become one flesh. Dating should be this gradual process of coming together and not formalizing that one flesh, but bringing their lives, their dreams, their hopes together such that their wedding is a formalization of that process. This is what Avila is designed to do, is to help couples to grow together as one, laying a solid foundation for their marriage and ideally growing together in Christ.
Deacon Ryan Sales is my guest. He is the campus minister at the University of Dallas, and he has designed a Catholic app called Avila, which is being released this month and designed to help couples in committed relationships intentionally discern marriage and prepare for it earlier in their relationship. There's a term that you use in your write-up called accidental dating, as opposed to intentional discernment. What is accidental dating?
Well, this is a byproduct of the lack of formation in how to date. And so what we tend to do is we tend to throw a whole bunch of spaghetti on the wall and hope that some of it sticks. Couples approach me and they go, Deacon Ryan, how will I know when it's time for us to formalize our discernment and get engaged? Well, if you're asking me that question, it displays a fundamental lack of appreciation for where your relationship is at. If I'm dating somebody for a year, but the only thing we do is go to Mass on Sundays and pray together, well, I'm missing a whole bunch of data points that's going to help me to be able to hear the voice of God, such as How do we interact with family? How do we handle conflict or stress or all of these sorts of different things? And so what happens is couples just kind of very organically, but also accidentally spend time together. And at a certain point, a year, year and a half, 2 years later, go, well, we've been together for 2 years. Let's get married. Mm. What my hope is with the app instead, with an intentional dating, is we know that there's various aspects of marriage life, conflict, finances, intimacy, boundaries, relationships. And so guiding couples to consider those various aspects throughout the process such that they gain all of these data points. And then instead of a, well, is it time to get married? It's a just a logical next step that they've been growing their ability to hear God and setting that foundation. And rather than ask me, is it the time to get married? Rather now they go, well, this is the only thing that makes sense based on where God has called us. And so the app guides you through that process each week to touch on multiple different aspects of marriage.
Right. It sounds like you put a lot of thought into this. And is the press release says end of April, and you know, we're in the end of April. Is it out yet? Can people get it? Is it a cost? Or what exactly, if somebody's listening right now saying, boy, this sounds really interesting, what should they do?
Well, I really hope that they take the opportunity to act. And if it's that they're thinking, oh, well, my children could benefit from this, that they do so. The app is live right now for Android devices. So you can download it from the Android Play Store. It's available there. It should be out in the next 24 to 48 hours on the Apple App Store. Just waiting for that approval to come through. And so available. Now, does it cost? Yes, unfortunately it does, because it costs me a lot of money that's coming out of pocket to pay for the app. And so I've set a monthly subscription model because there are ongoing costs, and I've set it at $3.99 per person in the couple. So each person, the app doesn't work.
$3.99 a month?
$3.99 a month.
I thought you were going to say something like, you know, $50 or something.
$3.99 a month each. So one coffee per person in the couple. The app doesn't even work unless you're paired with somebody else. So
yeah, can't do this on your own.
You can't do this on your own. You got to pair it with somebody else. Each of you pays $3.99. So a coffee a month, and that gets you access to all of the services. There's no upselling or upcharging or anything along those lines. And the way to get it is for Android is just type in Avila Catholic in the Google store. iOS, it'll be Avila Catholic shortly. Or they can go to the website, which is avila-catholic.app. So avila-catholic.app. And if you are an Apple user and you want to be notified when it comes out, there's a big link there that you can send an email to hello@avilacatholic.app. Send me an email and I will personally send a message out saying that the app is live on the Apple
now,
Store.
Now, it's obviously something that people use for a certain period of time, and then at that point it's done. So what is the typical runtime? Do they then cancel it after they've used it for 3, 4, 6 months, or how long will it take?
So the app is designed to follow them right up until the point where they get married. And so typically it'll be a formalized act after you have had the sacrament of matrimony, that you will, you know, cancel your subscription. Huh. My anticipation, though, is that we are looking to grow the app and have a pivot point in a later version where once you get married, the app switches from a discernment app to an encounter app. Mm. And then we'll journey with married couples through. But for right now, just as folks nowadays go on their social media and update their status from engaged to married, one of the things that they'll do at that point is they'll cancel their subscriptions, and that's a cancellation that I will gladly accept and celebrate.
And of course, in some cases, they cancel because they discern that they are not right for each other. And that's not a bad thing either, because better to find out before you get engaged than to find out, you know, or 2 years into marriage that you were not compatible with the person, right?
Absolutely. And even more so, Dave, I think it's important for the relationship to be discerned, that it's not where God's calling them, based on good, solid discernment, rather than that being the result of conflict or something because of a lack of understanding. I would feel much greater for couples to discern that they're not called to marriage because of of a deep dive into what marriage is all about, rather than because they accidentally just, you know, fell out of the relationship.
And I love that Canadian came out of you when you said a boat.
It's still there. I say y'all all the time, yeah, but the Canadian. Yeah,
you're learning, right? Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. It's really interesting. Deacon Ryan Sales, campus minister over at University of Dallas. And if you want to, and I'm already thinking, I bet Cicel's probably thinking of some people that could use this as well. And again, this is for people who are in serious relationships but are not yet engaged, certainly not married yet, as they discern. And I'm thinking, okay, this person. So I hope you will visit that website, avila-catholic.app, right? avila-catholic.app. If you're an Android user, it's already available. And he said if you're an Apple user, wait for about 48 hours and it's going to be available. So thank you. I think this is a really great service that you've done. Congratulations on launching it.
Oh, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
All right, we're going to take a break. This is the Good News Show, and coming up next, we're going to talk about a home educators conference that's coming up in about a month and 2 weeks or thereabouts. It's going to be the first weekend of June, Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th at University of Dallas. Okay, it just keeps on coming back. It's the third annual DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference, and my guest is going to be Jenny Bales. She'll tell you all about it, so we'll be back after this.
Would you like to keep up to date on all the exciting news, events, and information related to KATH 910 AM and the Guadalupe Radio Network? Like our quarterly share-a-thons, opportunities to volunteer, and special events like the Car Raffle, Spirit World Live, and the Summer Speaker Series events next year? Join our email list and we can send you occasional updates so you can stay informed. To begin getting emails from us, just email kath@grnonline.com and ask to be added to the list.
Families from 42 different zip codes throughout the Dallas area provide their children the classical education uniquely offered at Mount St. Michael Catholic School. A classical education respects the natural development of the child, grounds students in the tools of learning so as to delve more deeply into content, and expands the child's understanding of what is authentically good, true, and beautiful. A Mount St. Michael Catholic School 1st through 8th grade education enables students to reason clearly, choose morally, and serve faithfully. Contact the school to attend a monthly application coffee. Learn more at msmcatholic.org.
The 2026 Vocation Awareness Program in Dallas is a free weekend-long discernment retreat held June 12th through the 14th at the University of Dallas in Irving. Designed for single Catholic men and women aged 18 to 40, the weekend offers prayer, mass, adoration, and one-on-one sessions with priests and sisters to explore religious vocations. For more information about the June 12th through 14th Vocation Awareness Program, please contact the Dallas Diocese Vocations Office at 817-945-9321.
The Guadalupe Radio Network is thankful to My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine for their ongoing support of KATH 910 AM, including sponsorship of this year's Summer Speaker Series event. Bob and Norma Duane from Good Shepherd Catholic Community Parish are the owners of My Mutual Mortgage. They invite all KATH 910 AM listeners to contact them with any questions when considering the sale or purchase of your home. MyMutual.com/Grapevine.
Holy Family Academy is celebrating 60 years of faith, education, and community. All listeners are invited to the 60th Anniversary Gala. The 60th Anniversary Gala will take place on Saturday, May 2nd from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Doubletree by Hilton Las Colinas in Irving. Enjoy an elegant evening featuring dining, dancing, entertainment, live and silent auctions, and fellowship. Purchase your gala tickets today at the Holy Family Catholic Academy website at hfca-irving.org or on Facebook.
Parents are concerned about the decline in virtue throughout society. Knowing virtue is the pathway to heaven, many parents have discovered a Catholic school addressing these concerns while providing a Christ-centered, academically rich education unique to the Dallas area. Mount St. Michael Catholic School not only cultivates virtue, but also prepares students to engage the culture. The Montessori Preschool and Classical 1st through 8th enable students to reason clearly, choose morally, and serve faithfully. Contact the school to attend a monthly application coffee. Learn more at msmcatholic.org.
Well, welcome back to the Good News Show here on this April 27th. And boy, it's amazing how time flies. I remember ringing in the new year, and all of a sudden we're more than a third of the way through the year. Jenny Bales is my guest. She is the chairperson and founder of the DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference, and it's a third annual one coming up in just a little over a month, June 5th and 6th at the University of Dallas in Irving. And this is for people who have no experience in homeschooling and people who have been doing it for 25 years. They're going to have a keynote speaker, Jen McIntosh Weaver, who has homeschooled her children for 24 years and counting. And you can find out more about this conference at dfwchec.org. Okay, so DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference.org. Okay, that's what all that stands for. So nice to see you, Jenny. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So you have four children. Two are out of school, like either in college, and two that you're currently homeschooling, 15 and 13 year olds. So you've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
Yes, we're going to finish our 19th year of officially homeschooling from kindergarten on now. And I think I have like 5 years to go if it all works out.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So why did you all I presume you and your husband decided together at some 19 years ago that you're going to do this. Why did you choose homeschooling?
That's a great question. The short answer is that I was a public school teacher.
Oh, really? Okay.
And didn't have great experiences. Mm. But I know there are great schools out there as well. Yeah. The kind of longer answer is we just discerned that we really wanted a Catholic formation for our kids and wanted to make sure that our family priorities were instilled in them from a young age. And where we were living at the time, there was not an option for another education option that worked. So we kind of discerned that we'll do this and see how it goes. We did decide 1 year at a time in the beginning, especially my husband was much more skeptical and gave me like, this year you can homeschool, we'll see about next year. And then we just kept doing that until he's a bigger proponent than I am some days.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. And you enjoy it? Do the kids like it?
Yes, they do. I was asking them on the way here. I was like, do you like homeschooling?
Yeah.
And this one said, he said, absolutely. He said, I don't want to be in a building all day. I get to go do things and experience things and see people. And I get to learn about what's interesting to me. And he's like, I would rather not do school at all, of course, because, you know, some of it's hard. But just having that flexibility and I love tailoring what we're teaching to what the kids are interested in. Mm-hmm. And we get to do that with homeschooling.
Yeah, it's not like one size fits all, a group of 25 kids in a classroom.
Yeah.
And do you think homeschooling is for everybody, or who can homeschool? Obviously it has to fit the lifestyle and you have to be able to be at home. Mm-hmm. Is it just for people who are married and you have to have somebody else out earning living, or what are the criteria, would you say?
Oh, I would say an open heart and willingness is the only criteria, but it is definitely a choice that we make as parents to sacrifice a lot to be able to homeschool. So, so often that does mean a single income so that the one person can be the primary educator, but sometimes not. I know families that have both parents working and they have flexible schedules, or one works from home and they're able to make it work. I think really it's a discernment process, right? Yeah. A discernment of what do my kids need? What can I provide? What's available elsewhere? And just kind of figuring out, is this something that we feel called to do? Because I do think it's kind of a calling, just like you'd be called to a career. You're called to make this big decision for your kids.
And it may be something like you hear a radio interview, something like this, and you've been thinking about it and you thought, well, okay, God, okay, I get the point. I need to go to this conference.
Yes.
And would you say, I mean, even going back, you know, like 50 years or what have you, I think if I were to talk to my mom, she'd probably say nobody was homeschooling in the 1950s it would have been very, very niche. But then it got popular, and then talk about maybe the impact COVID had on it.
Sure.
And where is it now as far as popularity, would you say? And maybe that's not the right word. Or how common is it?
Yeah. You know, I don't know statistics. I'm not a numbers person, but I do know that there's been just an explosion since the pandemic of homeschooling families who've, you know, made this choice and on this journey. And I think that the neat thing I've seen most grow in the past 5 years beyond the previous 20 when I was kind of in the know is just the explosion of resources available for families. So the support now is a lot better than it was when some of us were starting out, where there are, you know, tutors and curricula and lessons and online options and stuff for parents, like conferences and things that really support the family. You can find so many opportunities to feel supported in this journey. Whereas before it was maybe, like you said, there were fewer of us, but also we didn't know where to find one another because there was no internet. So there's no connection in that regard as well.
I remember when I first started in radio about 20 years ago, there was a group called Immaculate Heart of Mary Coalition, and I think you told me before we started they were associated with Seton Homeschool Study out of Virginia, and they used to put on these annual conferences, and they typically were in Grapevine. I emceed a lot of them.
Yes.
Now, what happened to them, and is this kind of a natural, you pick it up where they left off, or is this a similar type of conference?
It's absolutely similar, definitely. Yeah. I think that I spoke with them and they discerned that after the pandemic, there was so much available online that it wasn't worth their resources to kind of travel all over the country. Because that's what they did is they would host multiple conferences all around the country. And they just wanted to focus more on what they can offer their families that are associated with Seton. And so we just said there's a need now. And a few years, you know, after we all came out doors again and wanted to see each other 3 years ago, a bunch of moms, we just said, you know what, let's try a conference because we want to all get together in the same room. And there's so much energy knowing that you're surrounded by all these Catholic parents who are walking this walk. I mean, there's a lot of resources for homeschooling that are not Catholic that might be secular or Christian or whatever, but to have the Catholics all together is really, really inspiring. And so we wanted that and we wanted to kind of bring that back.
And one question that probably a lot of people ask is, you know, what do I teach? I mean, what's the curriculum? And I know there are a lot of options out there. Do you kind of hone in on one particular curriculum or do you just say, hey, here are the options? I know you and I both have a connection to homeschool connections and we know Walter and Maureen. And after, you know, but what are the options and how do people decide that?
There are so many options. Personally, as I said, I really like to tailor our curriculum to my kids. So my kids each get their own personalized curriculum and picking and choosing whatever will work for them each year. I kind of reinvent the wheel every year, probably not efficient, but it works well for our family with their diverse special needs and diverse situations. But overall, you know, most families are going to just, you know, find a curriculum, get started with that. And there's just a ton of options. I love to steer people in the direction of the Catholic options, like Homeschool Connections is an online option. We are having come to the conference Colby Academy and Catholic Heritage Curricula, and they're going to come and display their things. And so there are really just tons of options out there. And it's a matter of kind of just picking one and doing it and just seeing how it goes for your family.
Yeah. So the person listening right now, like I said a moment ago, has never homeschooled. They've thought about it. They maybe feel like overwhelmed and they just don't know how they could possibly do that. This conference is for them, isn't it? I mean, not exclusively, but those kind of people should sign up and come.
Yes.
What would be in it for them? What would they learn?
Oh, so much, so much. We start our conference every year we have, but we will again this year on Friday evening with a homeschooling 101 session specifically for those newbies who want to know, like, wait, how do I get started? What's involved? And then the whole weekend will include a variety of topics. We have speakers, we have panels, we have breakout sessions that will just kind of cover it all from babies and toddlers who are underfoot while we're homeschooling to high school and getting into college. And all the curriculum options will be kind of presented in different ways so that families can kind of get a sense of what they need. One of the things I'm really excited that we're doing this year is we're going to have a mentor moms room where we will have veteran homeschooling moms available all day long to talk to any attendees who come and just want to ask questions and say, you know, well, what do I do? How do I do this? And so we'll be featuring that as well as a used book sale and our vendors. So there'll be a lot of resources to flip through and kind of get your hands on what does this really look like.
Do you find that in most families, is it like an all or nothing approach? You know, they got four or five kids, you're all homeschooling, or is it like I'm going to homeschool, you know, little Sally and Fred, but this guy's going to school. Is it all or nothing with a family, or do you think you got to look at the individual child?
I would say the majority of families do pick all or nothing because it's easier for the mom and dad to manage and navigate. But there are quite a few families that do choose for each child and what their needs are. And I think that if they have diverse needs like that, that's a beautiful, you know, gift we can give to our kids. Another sacrifice that we make to drive some to school, keep some home. Scheduling usually comes into play there and just what they're able to accomplish.
The website is dfwchec.org, which stands for DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference.org. The conference is going to be the third annual one for DFW Catholic Home Educators. It's going to be Friday, June 5th and Saturday, June 6th at the University of Dallas in Irving. Is the University of Dallas officially aligned with this, or is this just where you happen to have it?
That is just where we happen to have it, although they've been incredibly supportive and been very accommodating to us. But it's a great venue that we can just, you know, have a Catholic presence, be in a Catholic building.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's very nice. Some of the things that you mentioned in an email you sent me, you said homeschooling 101 for beginners. I think mm-hmm. you said that's going to be Friday evening. Tips for struggling learners, chaos to calm routines, college application secrets, raising kids who love the faith, schooling with babies and toddlers. Let me ask you that. When should somebody start homeschooling? What's the ideal age in your opinion?
Well, research shows that later is better than early as far as formal academics. Yeah. So I know in Texas, the state law says we have to start at age 6 to do some kind of formal academics. So that's kind of really where I lean on that. But of course, kids learn all the time. We learn all the time, even as adults. So from birth, you are teaching in some way something. But the actual formal academic book work does not have to start for many years. And so it gives you that time to really nurture that relationship with your kid, and especially nurture their wonder and joy at learning, which mm-hmm. is something that our keynote speaker is really, really going to key in on, is just for all ages, cultivating that love of learning and that culture of Catholicism within the home.
Yeah, let's talk about her. I had not heard of her until I saw, the email that you sent her through. Mm-hmm. Jen McIntosh Weaver. She's homeschooled her children for 24 years and counting. She's going to share her hard-won wisdom and lighthearted honesty on what it looks like to keep building a meaningful life one season at a time. So other than what you've already mentioned, which she sounds phenomenal, why did you decide on her for the keynote?
Well, Jen is just a light in the world. She just has this beautiful motherly kind of tone about her when she shares. And she really focuses more on the beauty of things in life than anything else. And while she's also at the same time very, very good at scheduling and planning. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to kind of marry those two things and make sure that we could be really practical with our attendees. And she's going to do a workshop at the end of the day on Saturday with a workbook she's bringing us on how to plan, make a plan that's going to work and a plan B for when that doesn't work. But then she's also just going to inspire us with her story and her journey of homeschooling and what's most important when looking back over all the seasons of her life and all the things that she's learned throughout her struggles and joys, so that we can all be kind of encouraged and inspired that, yes, we want to know what curriculum to use, but this is more about reaching our kids' hearts and leading us all to holiness.
Is there a cost?
There is, yes. Parents can register online for $45 till the end of May. And then at the door, we are also accepting registration. It's $55 at the door. And as a bonus, if you can only come Friday, like maybe you're not sure about coming the whole time or you're busy on Saturday, it's $15 per parent just to come Friday evening. And that's all available on our website.
So $45 now until the end of May, and then $55 at the door, $15 per parent if it's only the Friday night. And that's more geared towards the newbies, right? Is that anybody?
That's anybody. Okay. We did gear Friday night to the newbies the past 2 years, but we had a lot of feedback that said, do more for everybody and get everybody in the same room. And so our keynote will be speaking on Friday evening. And in addition to the Homeschooling 101 talk, we will also have a panel of homeschool graduates, some of the college students and young adults who are working in the world, to come back and tell us, how did it work? What was good? What was the struggle? And give us their perspective. I'm really excited about that.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is that oftentimes people looking from the outside might say, oh, the homeschool kids, they're going to not be able to talk to people. They'll be isolated. They'll be, socially awkward. My experience is the exact opposite, mm-hmm. is that the products of homeschool are the kids who are the most engaging, the most able to speak to adults. Do you still hear that kind of complaint, or, the kids are going to be locked in their house, they're not going to have any interaction with other kids? I mean, what would you say to that? Or maybe dispel some of the objections.
Sure. I mean, we do hear that. What about socialization? That's the big question. But really, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many resources now to get families involved outside of the home that is far from a problem. Mm-hmm. There are, of course, families who might not be able to take advantage of those things, and they might have to work a little harder to find those opportunities for their kids to interact with others. But what I find is that families that are homeschooling, their kids are interacting with people of all ages all the time, not just 30 people of their own age. And so I think that's where that dynamic comes in, is they talk to adults every day in mm-hmm. addition to other children of various ages. You get a group of homeschoolers together, whether it's a park day or a co-op or whatever, and they you know, they don't all stick to all the 10-year-olds play together. It's like you've got a 13-year-old playing with a 4-year-old and they're all just mixed.
Yeah,
and so I think
yeah.
that helps their communication skills a lot.
Yeah, I will say, you know, because I went to Catholic schools for most of my life and I had a good experience with it. I have nothing against Catholic school education, yeah. but I'd say almost all my friends the entire time were the ones that are exactly my age.
Sure.
And I didn't know a lot of people 2 years younger than me or 2 years older than me. So you do kind of just kind of hang around those people,
sure.
which I didn't say I was going to ask you about this, but if you don't mind, if you have knowledge of this, because it's a big story in the news, is the whole TIFA funding. Mm-hmm. Because I know Texas Education Freedom Accounts has been issuing, you know, money, and I think that $2,000 can go towards homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, is this something you can talk about? And then also, is it too late for people to apply for that? I think that
this
application
year, yes.
is already, yeah. So well, how will that affect homeschoolers?
Well, homeschoolers who are approved for the program, like you said, the applications closed in mid-March. I think they extended it, but it is closed now for families to apply. But they would get, if approved, they would get $2,000 per child to use in the vendor marketplace that TIFA has set up. And so the vendor marketplace is a place where you have a credit, basically, and you go in and can purchase services and materials from approved vendors to use that funding in your homeschool. So
okay.
the vendor list, as far as I understand, is not complete. They're still approving applications at this point. And I think funding isn't even going to go out to approved families till like July. So I think the target is sometime this summer to have that vendor list kind of finalized. But there's already a few homeschool curricula on there, as well as tutoring services and those kinds of resources that families can take advantage of if they have the funding to do that. So it's another option. It's something else that's available and coming. And I think it'll just depend on which vendors are really on that list and are those, you know, what's going to work for your family.
Yeah, and it's all very new,
yeah.
but so they're still trying to work it out. And like you say, still trying to approve people. Jenny Bales is my guest. She is the mother of four children, a couple of teenagers that she's currently homeschooling. She's also the founder of what will be the coming up in a little more than a month, the third annual DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference, Friday, June 5th and Saturday, June 6th at the University of Dallas. It's $45 to register. And is that for per person, per parent? Okay,
per parent,
so if both parents want to go, it'd be $45 each. And
yes.
do you bring your kids to this, or what if you want to? I mean, or do you leave them at home?
Right. We can't by liability reasons have children there. We
yeah.
do have you know, nursing babies and so forth. Absolutely fine. There's not a lot of room for strollers, so kind of the older kids, you know, really need to stay home. But we have had in the past some teens come. They've bought a ticket and they've come to participate and hear, you know, the speakers and so forth in that regard. But yeah, so the conference is really for parents who are, you know, interested in homeschooling or already homeschooling. Maybe they want like encouragement on their journey, or they just want to have community with other parents. With the ticket this year, lunch is included. And so we're hoping that'll be a nice social time for the families to get together, the parents to chit chat that where they can't, you know, otherwise really connect. I should mention at the lunch, we'll have a special dad's table. So for the dads who want to connect with other, other dads,
yeah,
we'll have that option as
yeah.
well. So yeah.
One of the points you said, raise kids who love the faith. And we haven't talked a whole lot about the Catholic faith in this, but I know that's a big part of it because mm-hmm. this is a Catholic home educators conference.
Mm-hmm.
How does homeschooling, in your opinion or your experience, help to raise kids who, you know, with God's grace, will remain Catholic and maybe marry Catholics and have little Catholic families? Do you think it's an advantage?
In some ways, yes, I think. We're really excited about that talk because you're describing the talk that Father Edwin from St. Anne's is going to give.
Oh,
so
good. Okay.
He's going to be fantastic. And he will hopefully share with us his experiences of seeing kids choose to stay Catholic, remain Catholic. I think with homeschooling, you have just the benefit of the quantity of hours that you're with your student compared to a non-Catholic environment. And so, you know, you're modeling the faith. They know it's the Catholic faith because you're there living it with them at kind of every hour of every day and can incorporate it wherever. A lot of homeschooling families will choose a Catholic curriculum or incorporate at least some Catholic curriculum into their homeschooling, which just brings that faith back into kind of everyday life. So I think it's a small benefit because of the number of hours that we're able to bring the faith into our daily lives as opposed to some schooling options.
Yeah, and I do want to just put in one more pitch for Homeschool Connections for a couple of reasons. We both have an affiliation with them, and also they're sponsors on this station and have been for a long time. But Homeschool Connections, I just absolutely love it. I have taught for the last 11 years the Summa Theologia to high school kids online, ranging anywhere from 15 to 30 kids in the class. And I just can't say enough about Homeschool Connections. And, you know, they teach every imaginable course, not just theology, but science and math and languages and all that. So did you teach for them at one point, or you use them currently, don't you?
I use them in my homeschool. All my kids have used some of their online classes. I currently am partnering with them with my homeschool consulting business to offer consulting calls for Homeschool Connections. Okay. I love them so much that I was like, hey, do you guys want to partner up? Because they do just offer such a beautiful, flexible option for families, because their online classes are both live and recorded. So you get to choose and mix and match and kind of make it work for your kids. And they have so many options for families. Like I said, since I tailor and customize our curriculum and what the classes each of my kids takes each year, I love that they let me do that with their classes, because there's just dozens of options every grade level. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that they're offering. And I have to say, I know you're an instructor there, but all of their instructors are just truly passionate about their subject matter. Yeah, they're not just teaching because it's a job. They're like, I love science, so I'm teaching science.
Yeah, and that's certainly why I teach it. I just love the subject matter. And the kids are just amazing. Yeah. I mean, my wife actually laughs at me at how often I say, these are just such great kids. And she's like, I know, they're great kids. I say it all the time about the Homeschool Connections kids. Yeah. All right, Jenny Bales, we just have about a minute or two remaining. Go ahead and speak to our audience and just make your pitch for what's coming up Friday the 6th of June, Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th at the University of Dallas, 3rd Annual DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference.
Just please join us, whether you're considering homeschooling or you've been homeschooling or you were homeschooling. It's going to be a beautiful experience. Every topic I think we could possibly talk about is going to be covered. Let us know what you want to hear. Come check out the vendors and the used books, talk to the mentor moms, enjoy lunch together. It'll just be a really beautiful weekend of Catholic homeschoolers coming together all in one place from all over the Metroplex and beyond, really. We have people travel to, you know, really focus on supporting our children and building a culture of homeschooling in our home that's focused on holiness.
All right, with keynote speaker Jen McIntosh Weaver, and also you mentioned Father Edwin Leonard is going to be giving a talk as well. So if you want to register right now, $45, and that includes lunch on Saturday. It's Friday and Saturday, $45 for each person. DFWCHEC.org, DFWCHEC.org. That stands for DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference, and it will be Friday the 5th of June and Saturday the 6th at the University of Dallas. Thank you so much for coming in, and I'm really excited about it. I hope it's a great success.
Thanks.
And speaking of homeschooling, Cicely Anderson, a product of homeschooling, and she seems to be doing pretty well. You know, you talk about these a convert to Catholicism herself, she is, but she's been running the board. Thank you very much, Cicely. And thank you for listening. Also, thanks to our first guests, Matthew Desmoutiers. If you want to go to that concert Saturday, go to LafayetteMusicians.org, and don't forget about the Avila app that Deacon Ryan Sales was talking about. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
St. Joseph is the patron saint of home and family. At My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine, we support the Guadalupe Radio Network's mission of honoring and supporting home and family as longtime sponsors of KATH 910 AM. We're Bob and Norma Duane, owners of My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine. We'd be honored to speak with you about all your mortgage needs. We can be reached at 817-527-3166. That's 817-527-3166. We're an equal housing lender, NMLS 265-303.
Hi, I'm Nick De La Torre, host of Morning Joy, where truth matters. The irony of the story we're covering in the Inside File segment is truly incredible. The employees of a coffee shop chain in San Francisco are protesting because the owners removed pride flags from their stores in order to, get this, create a more inclusive environment. Listen to Morning Joy every weekday starting at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern, and subscribe to the podcast so you can listen anytime.
Parents are concerned about the decline in virtue throughout society. Knowing virtue is the pathway to heaven, many parents have discovered a Catholic school addressing these concerns while providing a Christ-centered, academically rich education unique to the Dallas area. Mount St. Michael Catholic School not only cultivates virtue, but also prepares students to engage the culture. The Montessori preschool and classical 1st through 8th enable students to reason clearly, choose morally, and serve faithfully. Contact the school to attend a monthly application coffee. Learn more at msmcatholic.org.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.